We're going back this morning, and we've been teaching on a full salvation. The Lord spoke to me about this because there's just much today in the body of Christ. We've left teaching of the past and things that we had about a full salvation. And much today is preached to the church. We talked about it. Time and time again, I come along and talk to Christians. When you talk about salvation, all they know is forgiveness of sin. That's all they know. Well, we got forgiveness of sin. If all you got is forgiveness of sin, you're going to live a hard life. Is that all you got? Just forgiveness of sin? And the devil just runs over everything else. Salvation is much greater. Thank God for forgiveness of sin. But I need more than forgiveness of sin. You know, I needed born again. You know, the people in the Old Testament had forgiveness of sin. God would forgive their sin. Thank God He's gracious. But God didn't just forgive us our sin. He changed our nature. Hallelujah. We're born of the Spirit of God. We're born again. We're children of God. We have God's nature in it. See, people, I've had people say many times, I've had people say to me, yeah, well, we're forgiven of sin, you know, and I said, but we're just going to sin anyhow, you know, we're just, the whole thing of it is, see, Jesus died and can't keep you out of trouble at all. He did all that He did, and He still can't fix nothing. Now, I became a new creature. Sin is not my nature. If sin is your nature, you ain't a child of God. You ain't a child of God if sin's your nature. Your nature ain't to sin. Do you ever notice when you sin, your conscience bothers you? Do you notice when you were a sinner and you sinned, you didn't care? That was me. I sinned and didn't give a rip. You know, I was having fun doing my thing, and I got saved, and if I got out of line, my conscience bothered me. See, I didn't have a conscience against sin before because, you know, my nature was to sin. That was my nature. I was a child of the devil. See, that's why we can't look at the world and people will look down in Washington and all this. Why they do? People say, I don't understand why they do what they do. I know, because 99% of them are sinners. Now, there's a bunch of them down there that say they're saved. You sure couldn't tell it by what they do. We need to understand it. We're dealing with sinners. They need a nature change. And somebody needs to preach them a salvation that has a nature change. Instead of this, just, well, be good and go to heaven. You know, I had read some statistics off that I had from years ago. What it said that born-again Christians believed. And boy, I tell you, there's a lot of born-again Christians believe a lot of the wrong stuff. They ain't much of help to nobody. And so we need to get our thinking right. And I believe in it. A full salvation. We've been talking about this in this full salvation. Its importance, because when we deal with these areas in salvation, we need to understand, especially we're going to tell people, we want to come place, we tell people about Jesus. One of the things that people have a terribly hard time about witnessing is because they don't know what they got. You know, I'm just telling you this. I never had a hard time at all talking to somebody about Jesus. Never had a hard time. I have people all the time say to me, well, you know, I don't know how to lead the person to Christ. Well, how'd you get there? If you don't know how you get there, you probably didn't ever got there. You might have made a religious change, but I know how I got saved. I can tell somebody, hey, you know what? I've been down to Marystown already, and I can tell somebody how to get there. I'd never say to somebody, I've been to Marystown all the time. How do you get there? I don't know. Could you tell me how to tell people how to get to Marystown? Folks, I can't, you know, I've done this already. I was in churches and stuff and things when I was a young Christian, and they would do classes on how to witness to people. And I used to think, dear God, I was done. The people giving the class, they needed a class. You know, they had all these legal statistics and all this stuff, and he had all this stuff that you go and you mimic this certain things and that stuff. But you know what? They didn't have life. You know, a person that got life, you can tell it. And you can tell who ain't got it. It's obvious to see. The guy that got it and the guy that don't. It's one thing is having the life. See, it isn't about just saying, you know, it's amazing. Let's just do it this way. In preaching salvation, you know, we think, well, if you want to get people saved, what you have to do is you have to preach these salvation messages and you have to have certain things in them. You know, I remember this year when I was a young Christian, and Kenneth Hagin was telling his story about how God dealt with him about preaching and that stuff. And the Lord told him about preaching healing to people. getting them saved, preaching healing. And he said, you know, he wondered about it. And so, but he started doing it, started holding services and preaching on healing. He said, I preached on healing. And he said, we had four or five times as many people get saved preaching on healing as you would just trying to preach, just get saved. See, there's, you know, did you ever notice about this? What did Jesus do a lot of in his ministry? Healing. It attracts people. You know, we're trying to convince somebody to accept something with no proof that it exists. Jesus Christ proved to people that God existed. He proved that God loved them. He didn't just go tell them. See, all we got, you know, here's the American church today. Wind blowing. All they got is talk. All they got is talk. We have to have more than talk. See, this is one thing about moves of God going on. When I came in the kingdom, there was a move of God going on, and see, God was demonstrating himself. When I was in the 1950s as a kid during the 50s healing revivals, God was demonstrating himself all over the place. I was, the things that I have seen over the years in places and moves of God go with God manifesting himself. See, this is the whole thing. We can know that there's a problem when God's not manifesting himself. Now, what most people, I was thinking about this yesterday. I was doing some praying, talking to the Lord about some things. And, you know, there's one thing about it. Is most people, they want to just come to church. In church is where they want to have this move of God going. Well, I just want to let you know, you need to understand this. In the church and the move of God, I ain't in the church most of the time. Where I needed the move of God is out here walking around. And I can tell you this personally. Now I've been a Christian long enough time that I have 1,000 times more, and literally 1,000 times more manifestations of the Holy Ghost outside of church than I do in church. See, God lives with me. He's inside of me. I don't have to go to church to get God to do something. I have words of knowledge and words of wisdom and things come to me all the time. I have things happen. God shows me stuff all the time. But see, the whole thing, he's inside me. That's his purpose. See, the church wants to come together and we have this big move of God and we come. It's good. You know, most of that, you know what it's for, the move of God in a church for, is to for sinners. The saints shouldn't have to come to church to find out there's God. The saints are supposed to know it. We have God in us. See, I need to know it all week. During the weeks when I really run into things, I don't run into a whole lot here at the church. Here at the church, everybody puts on their best face. And sometimes act like they're not, what they aren't really like. Oh, we know how to fake it around people. The stuff happens after you leave. I don't know about you. That's when you need God. That's when you need manifestation. That's when you, see, this is where you can put it to work in your life and it works. See, I've never known since the time I've been a young Christian, I have never known the time God not speaking to me, doing something through me. I could stand here and for the rest of the day, I could stand here for the rest of the week, 24 hours a day, and tell you story after story how God did things supernaturally, manifested through me and Wanda doing things. I could just stand and tell you story after story after story. And you need to, see, you need a testimony of Jesus. Everybody's looking for everybody else. So let me tell this other guy's story. What about yours? Do you have one? You should. You should have stories about manifestations. How God moved through you. God did for you to other people or stuff or whatever God did. I could sit and tell you stories how God worked through me for somebody else. There's loads of times God used me and stuff and people got blessed, healed and everything. They don't even know a thing about it. God used me. God spoke to me. Individual, I want you to go pray for this individual. They're having this problem or that problem. I'll go start praying. That problem will change. And that person comes along later on and say, I want to tell you what God did for me. And they talk about like they were really a faith person and they did it. And they didn't do it at all. I never say nothing to them. They don't know where it come from. They don't know where it happened. They don't know how it happened. See, God wants to move through you. I thank God. You know, that's why, you know, as young Christians, you know, especially young Christians, you want to pray for them, because a lot of things you have to do to carry them along. They don't know, and you help carry them along. That's where you pray for them and that kind of stuff and help carry them along. Hallelujah. You want them to live long enough to grow up. Hallelujah. And then, you know, but you get to the place where you start to carry and you start carrying somebody else. See, most Christians need other people to carry them all the time. They aren't the prayers. They're always asking for prayer. They always need somebody praying for them. I decided a long time ago, I ain't going to be the guy that needs prayer all the time. I want to be the guy God can come to and I can pray. And God, I'll stand in for somebody. I'm the adult now. Everybody wants to be children. They want God, their God, to be this, he's my daddy and I crawl up in his lap and that stuff. Well, I grew up and I'm a worker together with him. The Bible says be workers together with him. That's what I am. Hallelujah. He's my father, but we're in the same business. He ain't burping me no more. I don't eat Pablum, you know. We're not on baby food no more. That's gone. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're working together. And that's what you want to come through to your work together. Now we're dealing with this salvation and we were talking about Jesus didn't just deliver us from sin. He took us from some place and put us in another place. See, when salvation, mostly salvation, if it's just forgiveness of sin, I'm still in the same camp I was in. I'm just a forgiven sinner. No, I was a sinner, but I'm not anymore. I'm a child of God. I ain't a sinner no more. All sinners are going to be in hell. That's where all sinners will be. And if you're a sinner, that's where you'll be. You get born again, you're a child of God. God has no sinner children. Sinner children belong to the devil. But see, even people get born again, they're preached to like they're sinners. They're preached to, you know, and people walk around. See, they're, you know, Jesus, he just saved me. No, it says, one of the things we know this, he said he took us from that kingdom of darkness and he put us in the kingdom of the Son of his love. We have changed kingdoms. We're in different kingdoms. And that's important to understand. See, there are rules, just like in any nation, there's rules in different nations. They have different laws and different things. You need to understand this. The average Christian lives by the rules and laws of the kingdom of darkness. They don't live by the rules. They live like they are still in that kingdom. They go around this world and they live and walk and do just like the sinners do about stuff. They follow the same stuff. They're in another kingdom. The Bible tells me this earth is not my home. This ain't Ed's home. The Bible says I'm an ambassador for Christ. Our ambassadors go from this nation and go to another nation. They don't abide by the laws. They are under protection of the United States of America. They're not under the protection of that nation. They have all the rights and privileges that they have as Americans. See, you need to understand that living here in this place. People say, well, you know, down here, Jesus said down here there's trouble in this world, but he said, I've overcome it. See, it's overcome. The church keeps looking at, no, you know, we just got trouble. Well, there's a lot of trouble. Boy, all this trouble. No, Jesus said he overcame it. Hallelujah. He overcame it. I'm an ambassador in this country where the trouble in this country does not rule and reign over me. The trouble of this country. See, and we got to change the way we think about things. You're going to pray and do whatever you do in line with the way you think. That's what you're going to do. How you think about things. If you view yourself, you're going to pray if you view yourself under the bondage of something. You're going to pray such. And lots of time it'll be a prayer of unbelief and you wonder why things don't change. That's why not much changes in our nation, because most of the church is praying in unbelief. They're praying like we're defeated, trying to get over something. We're not. This nation's in trouble. I'm not. I'm following God. The worst thing they could ever do to me is kill me and send me to heaven. Well, that's going to be an awful one. I'll tell you, that'd be a terrible thing. Heck, they don't realize that I've been wanting to go there a long time. When this COVID stuff went on, I said to Wanda one day, I said, you know, the easiest thing to do is die. I said, living with all these idiots is the hard thing. I said, dying. My God, let's take the mask off and take a deep breath. Dear God. All these people fighting to, you know, say, dear Lord. No, there's a place called heaven. Hallelujah. That's our home. But we want to see this. We're talking about salvation. In other words, God just didn't turn around and save us from something. He put us in something. You're in something and you're in the kingdom of God, and you need to get that clear about yourself, because that's why, as we go to the Word is about our kingdom. It's about the blessings and things are about our kingdom. It's not for the world unless they come to this kingdom. If they get born again, see, the world doesn't have a covenant with God. I didn't have a covenant with God till I got born again. I got a covenant with God. Up until that time I did. I didn't have any rights or privileges for God. The only thing God offered me to come and accept Jesus to come into His kingdom, but I didn't have a covenant with God. Sinners don't have covenant with God. Sinners basically have no right from anything from God other than to get born again. They don't have any. God does anything for them. It's out of mercy. It's all mercy. Not a bit out of the, He's doing it mercy. He wouldn't have to do anything. It's just like Jesus when He walked around the earth here. He said, you know, He told the woman who came to Him whose daughter was possessed. He said, salvation's of the Jews. You know, it belongs to us. The woman with the well. Salvation belongs to the Jew. They got blessed because of the mercy of God. They didn't get it because of covenant. They got it because of the mercy of God. See, the Jews were supposed to receive on a different level, and they weren't doing it. See, they were in unbelief. That's the church today. Much of the church is in unbelief. They're not walking in the light. They look at the way everything's going on in the world. They measure everything to what they see happening there. No, it's about the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. That's why I keep looking at the book, because the book's the best. The book tells me about the kingdom. The book gives me a vision of the kingdom. So we're looking at all these things about this. It's one of the things we found out is what God took us to. Now, we have in redemption, I'm going to read to you here. We're going to go back over to Galatians again, to the third chapter. We read this last week, but I want to bring you into something. We're going to go back to it again. Galatians, the third chapter, because we as believers, we need to see ourselves of what the Bible says and not what people are saying or doing or thought. We need to change our thinking. In other words, God wants you to come up to a higher level. There's a higher level. Sometimes people get to certain levels in their Christian walk and they just get happy. They're at that spot. Everything seems to be going good. But I've noticed this, that people who maybe have done that here in these last days, they're not doing very good. You always want to continue to go higher. And in Galatians, the third chapter, verse 6 says this, as just as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. In other words, righteousness is always by faith, it's never by works. You can never approach God on the basis of what you've done. You don't pray, you don't ever pray, and I've heard ministers do this. They'll pray and say, you know, remind God you that what you did, and remind God of this that you're given, and remind, don't you ever do that. You don't ever, you have no rights before God on the basis of what you've done. That's law. And we're going to find out law. We've been talking about law brings curse. You don't want to get into the performance thing. I got saved because of Jesus' performance, not mine. I'm in the kingdom and walking in this basis. When I approach God by faith, I am approaching Him on the basis of the work of Jesus Christ, never upon my performance. If I have any good performance, it's because of the good work of Jesus in me, so I can't take credit for it anyhow. So, we got to throw that one out. We don't go on the basis, you know. God, I can approach. You know, let me tell you, I'll just tell you this. This is how I watch Christians over the years get upset. I've had people come to me and they don't understand why so-and-so got blessed. Well, they don't always live the best and they don't always do the best. And what they're trying to tell you this, I'm not getting blessed and I do better than them. Well, you know, when you have to tell them the truth, it usually, they don't like to hear it. I said, they probably went to God to ask on the basis of faith, and you're trying to go to God on the basis you're a good person. And that's a stench in the nostrils of God, your righteousness. And I said, they went by faith. They didn't, they're like the guy said, what Jesus said, the guy that went and said, hey God, you know, forgive me, I'm a sinner. He said he went away just, the guy said, I'm glad I like that guy. That's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to approach God on the basis. I don't care how good I do. I don't care how I listen to God. I can never approach on the basis of performance. We don't approach God in that manner at all. I've done good. Well, that there's really nice that you did good, and there's nothing wrong with doing good. That's great. But we receive God on the basis of faith on His goodness of what He did through Christ Jesus. What He declared belonged to me. Do you know, there's nothing that God has given you has been on the basis of your works. And whatever you can receive from God, He has already given it. And we're going to look at that today. We'll go on from there. It says, verse 7, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Do you hear that? Who are the sons of Abraham? All the Jews? Only those who are of faith. Who? In Christ Jesus. He said, then the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations of the nations shall be blessed. You hear that? All the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So, God provided blessing for all the nations of the earth, for everybody. But the only ones who have the blessing are the ones who have faith. See, you got to accept Jesus by faith to get the blessings. Now we want to see this. So, you see what it says? Then those who are of faith, does it say going to be blessed? Does it say are they going to be blessed? It says they are. Now I want you to get a hold of this. Because see, we need to get it right. If you're praying at all for God to bless you, you're out of the will of God. You're out of the will of God. What you're praying ain't the word. You are blessed. The Christian is blessed. I'm not saying this to be mean. And I'll prove it by scriptures. Christians should never be asking God to bless them. They should be receiving the blessing. We don't pray God. See, I grew up with that blessing thing, you know, people in praying, asking God, you know, to bless me. I'm going to ask God to bless me to do this and bless me. I'm sorry. I'm already blessed. And let me say this. There is nothing you can ask for God by faith if He hasn't already blessed you with it. You could not accept it by faith. Because if He hasn't already given it to you, how do you know you're going to get it? So you couldn't receive it by faith. Because you wouldn't know if it was His will for you to have it. This is why prayer. This is why ministers preach and say, well, sometimes God says yes, sometimes they said no, sometimes He says later, sometimes... Not, it's never stated in Scripture, but they made it up. And they say those things because they know their prayer life don't work. They know that they pray lots of times and don't get it. And they know this, it could never be my fault, I'm perfect. God must have a reason why He ain't doing it. It wouldn't be because Ed missed it. God had to miss it, you know. God had to miss it. So, for some reason, He's not keeping His word. And then we go around and tell people we love Jesus. We love this liar. Tells us things and don't do it. And we love Him. But as a kid, I listened to that stuff in church. And you know what? I quit church at an early age because I thought Christians are the most insane people I've ever been around in my life. A guy who does nothing but kill them, bring storms and destroy anything messed up in their life, God did it for a purpose. And they love Him. And I remember asking people, say, you know, we put people in jail that does stuff God said He does. Why do we put them in jail? They're doing the work of God. You see, this is one thing. Religion does not have a brain. Religion is the most thoughtless, mindless. It don't even ever check to find out if something's true. It doesn't ever. It doesn't. And you know what? The crazy thing about it is, it seems to be so easy to get into for people. I don't understand it. It just seems to be so easy. We don't question things. I question things all the time. I want to know if it's true or not. I want to know. You know? I always got questions to God about stuff. I always have things I want to know about things and things that don't make sense to me. And I want to know. I want to understand them. You know, I always think, I was so glad when I read after John G. Lake and he said, I didn't want to know that God healed. I wanted to know how He did it. I wanted to learn how He did this thing. Wasn't enough to just know what He wanted. Well, I tell you what, His ministry turned out pretty good after all that too. So those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You see, you don't want to ever get under law. You don't want to get under your works performance. God blesses you because of works, because I'm just going to tell you this, your works will never be good enough. You know, one of the things that is years ago, the Lord spoke to me one time. I was studying in these areas and that stuff. The Lord spoke to me and said, do you know what the curse of the law is? Well, the curse of the law, go over to Deuteronomy 28 and go read there from about the 14th chapter through the 68th, the end of the chapter. And I'll tell you, you'll read every ugly thing that ever could happen and more. And the Lord said to me, do you know what the curse of the law is? Well, I knew this. I said, well, Lord, you know, they talk about the basics of the curse of the law is this, is separation from God because of sin. It's sickness and poverty and every other evil thing you could think of. That's the curse of the law. That's the curse of the law. And the Lord said this to me. He said, the curse of the law is this, you can't keep it. See, you can't keep the law, so you're going to have the curse. You can't keep it. So see, we're not, thank God, we don't have to try to keep, we're not trying to keep the law. Thank God. We go by faith. Hallelujah. See, we live by faith, and the Bible says, by faith of the Son of God, who gave himself for us. That's what we live by faith. He kept the law. He fulfilled the law for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the law has been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. You and I get the credit through faith in Christ as if we fulfill the law. I like that. I mean, why would somebody else want to just go, but I want to live by the law. You know, I'm going to go to God based on my works. Well, I'll tell you what, I thank God. Sometimes my works ain't always been so good. How about you? Maybe there's somebody here, you always really got good works. You just, you know, you always just got it down pat. Well, if you do, I'll tell you, I'll have an altar call for liars and get you saved. Hallelujah. There's nobody in that category. See, we don't want to have to go there. God provided such a wonderful salvation. Now listen to what he says. Verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. That should be evident to us. Can you imagine? Paul wrote and said that was evident. Boy, it sure ain't evident, it seems, for a lot of people. Because they're still trying to do everything legalism. He said, listen, what? For the just shall live how? By faith. Now that word just is exactly the same word as translated righteous. The righteous live by faith. Righteousness can be had no other way than by faith. You and I approach God on the basis of righteousness by faith, and that righteousness is God's righteousness. It's not ours. It's God's. You and I were given righteousness by God. You're as righteous. The Bible says we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. If you're going to fellowship with God, you're going to have to be as righteous as He is. How many of you have works here that are as righteous as God is? Do you ever have any? Did you ever have any works that were as righteous as God's? You know what I have? I have works of faith that are as righteous as God. God counts them as righteous as He is. But see, if I go in my own righteousness, you will never. You can't by faith. This is how we go to God by faith. We're declared being as righteous as God Himself. God didn't make you just righteous. Because if you were just righteous, human righteousness, you couldn't have got to heaven anyhow. Nobody gets into heaven unless they're as righteous as God is. God gave us, we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God gave us His very own righteousness by faith. Now see, your brain's going to sit there and think, oh, now, you know, that there seems really out there. Go ahead and think about it. You and the devil next week will be hanging out with each other. This is not about thinking, it's belief. The Word says you're as righteous as God. You better get believing it. Because the devil will own you if you don't. The Bible says we have the righteousness of God. That's what we are. You need to declare yourself. That's by faith in Christ Jesus, I'm as righteous in God's sight. That's why you can go to the Father in Jesus' name, and Jesus said He'll give you anything you ask for if you go in His name. Why? Because you're as righteous as Jesus Christ, you're as righteous as God the Father, and you're as righteous as the Holy Ghost. How? By faith in Christ Jesus. You got God's righteousness. God recognizes His righteousness. You need to recognize it. If we try, that's why we don't approach in our righteousness and our works. This is how people mess up. You start getting your mind, well, maybe, you know, I messed up or I did something. Am I good enough to go in His presence? Shall I tell you how good you are going in His presence? That's why He said in Hebrews, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why? Even when you mess up, you only need mercy because you messed up. You don't need mercy if you're doing good. Do you? Mercy is you have done messed up. And He says, come boldly when you messed up. You must have a righteousness that is surely different. See, but most people will always approach God on the basis whether they felt they do right or they're good enough. Mine's not based on it. It's faith in Christ Jesus. I'm allowed in the presence of God because of faith in Christ Jesus, and I can go there boldly, and you can too. You can go boldly, and that's why He said you can find grace to help there in time of need. You go, there's mercy. See, if you did mess up, you can repent. He'll forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now, that unrighteousness, what? Is the act that you did that was unrighteous. That unrighteous act. But see, you didn't become unrighteous concerning God as being a Christian. You did unrighteous acts. And you know what your unrighteous acts does? They hurt you because your conscience bothers you when you do them. And when you go to God and confess your sin, you clear your conscience. And He washes you with the blood of Jesus and says, you know what? You're just as good as you ever were. You ain't got no fault. And the great thing about it is God's a wonderful forgetter. And most Christians are not. Most Christians will remember every mess up that they've had, and they'll drag those dead things along with them their entire Christian walk. You got to be a good forgetter like God. When you turn around and mess up and you confess your sin, hey, the devil will always send somebody around to remind you of your mess ups. And there's always Christians, you know, who are out there working for the devil who will come along and remind you of your mess ups. But if you confess them before God, they don't exist. So just smile at them, pat them on the head and go on. Don't pay no attention to them. Don't let the devil drag you back to the places of your mistakes of the past that Jesus Christ cleansed you with His blood for. You walk on and you pray and get in the face of God just like it never happened, because He don't believe it ever happened. He has no record of it. If He still has a memory of it, He's the biggest liar on the face of the earth. Him and the devil are buddies. He has no memory of it. God is a wonderful forgetter. My God. Let's be like our daddy. Let's be a wonderful forgetter. Hallelujah. Learn to throw your past, whatever it is you messed up, whatever you've done, throw that thing in the past. You know what? Dragging that stuff, you know that water that's already going over the dam, dragging that stuff up ain't going to change a thing anyhow. Let it alone. Let things alone of the mess ups of the past. Everybody's had them. We've had a lot of mess ups just because of where we were spiritually. You know, sometimes just spiritual kids, we did dumb stuff. We were spiritual kids and we turn around and mess ourselves up, bringing that stuff around ourselves. Remember, we let the devil come and bring it back. Said, did you do that? You remember you did that? Say, no, I don't. No, I don't remember that. Say, excuse me, Lucifer, you want to go talk to God? Let's ask God remembers that. He'll bring it up to us. Well, that'll end the conversation. You know, people come up and say, you remember when you did such and such? No, do you remember? Say, man, you stay up at night trying to find fault with people. Well, that'll always get them to shut up. Oh, so you were the devil's helpers. You go around and remind people of their faults. Is that you one of those? Well, let me tell you, you'd find out. They won't be around talking to you much. So you can learn how to... Oh, hallelujah. It's not hard to set some people in their place. But I want you to listen to this. It says, now verse 12 says, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Now listen to this verse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Did you see that? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, This is important. We talked about it last week. Christ has redeemed. You see that there? Is that present tense, future tense, or past tense? Which is it? Past tense. See, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. See, when you got born again, you're in fellowship with God. You're not a sinner separated from God. See, under the curse, you're separate. See, and this is why when people turn around, they're going to teach salvation. Salvation is just about getting saved, getting your sins forgiven. I'm sorry. The curse was about healing, was about poverty. All those things were under the curse. Christ has redeemed me. He redeemed me from the curse. How did he do that? He took me out of the curse kingdom. The curse is a kingdom. It's the sin kingdom. It's Satan's kingdom. Sickness and disease is in Satan's kingdom. I am not in his kingdom. Poverty is in his kingdom. Separation from God, that's in Satan's kingdom. That's the cursed kingdom. That's the cursed kingdom. That's the kingdom that has a curse. See, under the law, and we'll eventually go there. We won't go there this week. I've been trying to get over there, Deuteronomy, but the Lord keeps giving me other things. But anyhow, dealing with this curse, we need to understand, salvation is not just about getting your sins forgiven. It's about getting born again. It's about getting healed. It's about getting delivered. We went back over, if you listen back over the past teachings, we talk about what different words meant in the Bible. When you look at them, the same words, and we're going to eventually go on to it, eventually, we'll read through the scriptures where scriptures are used, the same words that are used one place talking about salvation is the same word used for healing. Why? Because it's all in the kingdom of God. God has no sickness in his kingdom. When Jesus Christ came, Jesus Christ said this himself. The why he was said, he came, he said that people have life. He said the thief Satan, what did he come for? To steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I came that you might have life. And the church preaches, God's using sickness trying to teach you. Now let's be honest with it. If you actually believe that, then plan on getting sick in heaven because you're going to be taught when you get to heaven. You ain't going to get to heaven and know everything. The Bible's clear on that subject. If you're dumb as a stick here, you show up there the same way. You're going to have to learn there. Hallelujah. I figured I'd at least get to fourth grade before I got there. Don't laugh. There's people, they don't even get out of K-4. They're stumbling all over the place. They ain't got a clue what they're doing. I figured I'd get there, at least I'd get a little head started there. I figured maybe another 5 or 6 years there, I'll probably get out of grade school. Who knows? But you know, and I'm going to tell you, compared to the mind of God, see, we think we're going to get to heaven and just know everything. I want to just tell you this. You're never going to be God. I hate to inform some people of that. But you're never going to know everything. You're going to be learning all the time. Just as if God operates here on the earth and people have to learn, his kingdom is no different. He's the one that established stuff that way. If you don't like learning, you ain't gonna like heaven. Well, that's what we do. That's why I like learning. I like learning, man. I want to learn. Because why? That's the way the kingdom operates. Because we'll show you as we go on with this why you want to keep learning. Hallelujah. But we need to understand this because we talked about dealing in the areas with dealing with redemption. But if we would go over and look at some of the things here, I just want to share with you some things like looking at some of these things and words that were used. The word, like we talked about, the word redemption. Now we talk about having redemption. One of the things of redemption, we use I looked up some of these things and these words that were used in the Greek and how they used them in the language of the day that the Bible was written in. How it was used. And some of these things like redemption, well, we know we generally use the things of being bought back. And those things, and we think about that, says someone buying back. Well, what were we bought back from? What were we in that we were bought back from? See, most of Christianity don't believe we brought back from anything. We're still in it. We just, you know, he just redeemed us. You know, but we need to one of the things is to redemption is the idea to free from what distresses or harms. So it's the idea, you know, it's a payment made to deliver you from something, to set you free from something. One of the things I like this about this is because it says this. Redemption is the idea to free from consequences of sin. Do you know what the consequences of sin are? The consequences is the curse. That's why we go over and read this. See, the consequences of sin is the curse. And see, most of the church world doesn't preach true redemption. You didn't get free from the curse. You're still, while you're here on the earth, you know, you're down here. I've heard ministers say this after ministry. I've even heard people say their spirit filled say, you know, you're down here. You're just going to get sick. Stuff's going to just happen to you. You're just, see, you're not free from the curse. Well, no wonder the church has so much trouble in these areas. Because there's so much skepticism. People don't have faith. Faith comes by hearing the word. Faith doesn't come by listening to preachers. If the preacher's preaching the word, it's a good idea. You might end up getting some. But, see, this is why we preach the word. You need to understand it. God made a salvation that's so vast and so wonderful, and the church preaches this little bit of it, and hands this little bit and say, that's salvation. And they call it, we're preaching the gospel. And they've never preached the gospel. See, I was an alcoholic, and I was doing drugs and stuff, and I heard the gospel, and the gospel was preached to me that God would deliver me from it. I didn't have to go through a 12-step program. I found out that Jesus Christ would deliver me when I got saved. That was part of salvation. And you know what? I got delivered. We don't preach that. We don't preach deliverance today. We don't preach there really is a redemption. We only preach forgiveness of sin. That's all we preach. You dirty dog, you got your sins good, but you're going to have drug problems all your life and always trying to stay away from drugs. I don't have any problem staying away from alcohol and drugs. I can go sit with all the drunks and drugs, and they can drink and drug all they want. It don't have no effect on me. I don't want to drink and drug. I don't have any inclination to do it. You know why? The guy that did that's dead. How could I have the desire to do that when he died? Any man in Christ, he's a new creation. We know this, that many people, I'm just telling you this by the Holy Ghost, the church is full of people today who have come to a religious belief in Christ, but there has been few births. This is why people struggle so terribly. They don't ever get free. They never get born again, and they live under bondage, and the church just keeps preaching their bondage to them. They don't tell them the Son will set you free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the great deliverer. Hallelujah. The consequences of sin. The curse has been removed. Hallelujah. That can sure put a shout for you. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to turn over to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, because I want to read to you here, because if you were taken from something to something else, and we need to understand this, under the law, there was the blessing and the curse. Now, we already read the fact that we're under the blessing because we have the blessing of Abraham. What was the blessing of Abraham? Well, one thing we got, it says the promise of the Spirit. See, when you got born again, you got the promise of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, through His work, caused you to be born again, and the Holy Spirit now lives in you. The promise of the Spirit. But we found that you're redeemed from the curse. See, this new man's redeemed from the curse. There's no curse on the new man. The new man has blessing. He is blessed with faithful Abraham. He is blessed. He's not going to be blessed. He is. Now listen to this. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Does it say God is going to bless you? Does it say that? I'm not trying to trick you. If you just look what the Bible says, you ought to be able to figure that one out. It says, who has blessed us. See, there's a total difference. All of it operates. See, one of the things that I don't like, I don't like preachers going over to Malachi and talking about tithing and Malachi and that stuff, because that teaches the law. You give to get blessed, and that's what they do. It works out good. The Lord talked to me about this. He said they go over there and use that to get an offering. See, you need to give so God can bless you. You know what? That's exactly what they had to do under the law. That's right. We don't give under that motive. I don't give to get from God. I'm already blessed. I give because I'm blessed. You see, this is why most people have a hard time giving. They don't believe they're blessed. So they're afraid to get rid of what they got to give it away because they're afraid they're not blessed. Do you see the difference in the motive? I give because I'm blessed. I don't tithe because I have to tithe to get blessed. If I have to tithe to get blessed, Apostle Paul lied here. I'll never forget this young Christian heard Kenneth Hagin say this. I never pray. He said, I never pray and ask God to bless me. He said, it'd be a sin for me to do it. He's already blessed me. Now, I want to say, He blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. In other words, I am blessed with everything heaven's got. Is there another blessing maybe you could get? Is there something maybe you didn't hear about that? He said, you're blessed with every spiritual blessing that heaven got. You are not going to be. You're already blessed with it. See, this is why we can take the promises by faith. This is why you can receive the promise of God by faith. You're blessed. See, you're now in the blessed kingdom. You are not under the curse anymore. You are under the blessing. Go read Deuteronomy 28. And go read there from the third chapter down, I think it's the 13 or whatever it is like that, and read what the blessings are. It's blessing on everything. Blessing about your kids and everything. See, we need to go. You know, I never, when God dealt with me about believing Him and trusting Him concerning my family and my kids, I never worried my kids are going to stray off and go out into sin or go do something. Never worried about it, at least. Why? Because I'm blessed. See, the average parent will pray like they're not. Trying to get God to take care of your kids, trying to get, said, thank God you're keeping my kids. Thank God my kids, Lord God, I'm not under the curse, I'm under the blessing. My kids are going to follow you, going to walk with you. I'm going to teach them the way of the Lord, and they ain't going to stray to the light of the left. They're going to follow. Hallelujah. See, that's praying in faith. That isn't that, oh God, help my kid. Oh, Lord, you know, oh, it's so hard out there and people are tempting them. And oh, please. And God's sitting there going, Gabriel, what are they doing down there? What's that? What's that? What's that person doing? He don't recognize it. See, he's walking by faith. See, most of us don't. We're trying to get blessed. See, it talks about your children. See, there's things in areas you have authority. You got to be talking right. People ain't talking. They don't talk right. They don't live right. They talk around me. It's nothing but religion. It's nothing but religion people are doing and talking. They're not standing up like they're blessed. They're not talking before God like they're blessed, like their family. You know, I told the Lord this. When the Lord talked to me about my family, I said to Him, I said, Lord, I said, I'll do anything you want me to do. I said, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want to do, I will preach and I'll do it. And I said this to Him, I'm just blunt. See, me and God, He wants me to work together with Him. We got to have some things straight between us. Hey, this isn't everything He wants and I don't give nothing. I ain't giving up everything for Him and He don't give nothing on the other side. That's what most people think about God. Well, if He don't want it, if He ain't gonna, I ain't working for Him. If He's a lousy boss, I can find worldly bosses that are better than that. He's good. And I told Him, I said, God, if you don't take care of my family, I ain't taking care of your business. Because see, I can't spend the time doing God's business all the time and trying to take everything care of everything else. This is why you got to worry. This is why everybody's so busy today, because they're so busy taking care of themselves. They're so full of taking care of, and know very little about faith to take care, doing God's business and let Him take care of them. That's why people are darn busy. It's good preaching anyhow, folks. Makes you nervous, too bad. But see, I learned that. And I told God, I will go wherever you want me to go, but my family's going to be taken care of. And you know what? He's been so good at that. My God. I don't know, you know, these people turn around taking their family's money and that stuff to try to put to go do things to follow God, and their families get neglected. I know ministers, their kids don't want to have to do nothing with God. They grew up, don't want to have nothing because of what happened in the family and that stuff. My kids never disliked the ministry at all because God always treated them good because daddy followed God rather than follow what men do. And God always took care, the kids always had enough. God always blessed them. God always did. And they grew up blessed. They grew up with God blessing their lives. But see, that's the way it's, we're not under the curse. That's the way it was supposed to happen. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the plan of God. But see, you know what I always did? Just agreed with the plan of God. I didn't look at it like other people. You get over and all this stuff about it. Oh, how you have to do to make your family work. All this psychology. Calling it Bible. Just cause they put a, you can put as many scriptures as you want over in your psychology book and it's still psychology. Hallelujah. That's good preaching anyhow. Hallelujah. The word of God works. That's what I'm telling you. This salvation is better than we preach it. It's more glorious. You know, it's the strangest thing. We have this tendency all the time to take the guy that failed and make him the picture of, he's always a guy, well, I know somebody that tried that and it didn't work. Say, dear Lord, we can line up the devil's kid from here to what? China. It don't matter. If God saved one person, I'm going to use him as the example of salvation. I am not going to, no, not the church. The church always takes the negative. They always go over the person that failed. Well, they said they believe it. I don't care what some guy says he believed God. I don't know if he did or not. I just know this, whenever I believed God, it worked. And I know times that I said I was believing and found out I wasn't. And I never accused God of missing it. God's never wrong. We are. If it ain't working, there's something wrong with me. There's things I need to know. There's things that I don't know. There's something I'm not doing. See, you'll never grow up and get it right till you ever admit you're wrong. But see, we don't. We make up, then what we do is the church just makes up a new doctrine of why it didn't work and say, well, it was a reason was God. God did say, for some reason, he didn't want to do it. And we do that. I'll tell you what, God will always follow and act upon His Word. Hallelujah. See, you are blessed. See, you need to learn to get these things in your voice. You need to begin to, I don't care. If you read the Bible and the Bible is just something you read, if you're not talking it in your life, you're wasting your time reading it. You're even wasting your time believing it. The Bible don't come to pass till it's spoken. You can't get saved without saying. You don't get saved because you believe. You can. Hell has people in that believe Jesus was Lord, but never confessed Him as Lord, never made them their Lord, and they're in hell today. You'll find loads of people. If Jesus took you down there, you'd find loads of people that believed that Jesus was Lord are in hell. They never received Him. To as many as receive Him, how do you receive Him? Your confession. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You want salvation in your life? Start talking the Word. The Word will bring salvation to your life. Hallelujah. Quit sitting around. People say, well, I believe what it says. I'd rather hear you speak it. I don't care what you say you believe. It will come to pass. It will never be real to you till you talk it. You start talking it. Talk what the Bible says. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Something bad's going on. You know what you stop and say? You know what? I'm blessed. No, I'm going to go tell 10 people about the hard time I'm having. I'm going to call 5 prayer chains and tell them the hard time that I'm having and ask them to pray for me because I'm having a hard time. Say, excuse me, would you pray for me? What for? I'm blessed! Hallelujah! Would you pray for me? I'm so blessed! Hallelujah! I don't know how to act! There's one thing that you won't find in the church today. You won't find Paul and Silas is singing after they've been whipped. You'll hear nothing but wailing and crying. That's the church world today. Oh, poor old me. And a few, you know, courses that come by y'all. It's good preaching. See, I tell you, we don't have to learn how to go through the tests and trials, and God gave us the ability to do it if we will speak what the Word says. If in the midst of trouble, we will declare our victory. In the midst of trouble, it takes nothing. It takes zero faith to declare victory when it's already showed up. It requires faith when you're in the middle of the trouble. Say, praise God, I got the victory. I have this thing. Hallelujah. I'm blessed. Glory to God. And everything around you looks like you cursed. Hallelujah. But I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed from the curse. Curse can't stay around me. Can't hang around me. Hallelujah. Because I'm the blessed of the Lord. I got the blessing of Abraham. Hallelujah. God's living inside of me. See, you can't stay sad talking like that. You'll be wimpy walking around thinking about your problems, talking about it, going and telling everybody what your trouble is and what's your problem. I personally tell you, I don't tell people my problems. Make some of them cry. So they think you don't have no problems because you're going around telling everybody. They think, well, you're just not dealing with it. I just learned a long time ago, I don't need somebody to try to get an unbelief for me. Too many people can't tell. You tell them you have a problem, they can't tell. Lots of times you can't tell people you know you got something. You can't go up and say, you'll pray for me and tell them what the problem is. They'll be over whining to God about your problem. They won't be in faith about you getting an answer. They'll be over there whining about, oh yeah, help our poor pastor. He ain't poor. He's blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But see, learning to walk by faith. You know, I just think about something the Lord just brought up to me and that stuff. You know, people, you know, some of the things Wanda and I did here lately, especially in giving away money, I'm going to tell you, it choked some people to know some things we did. God told us to do. I mean, years ago, man, I went through things, but you just really think about doing it. But you know, I sit down and look, and if you want to listen to reports of things, you think, oh man, you got to really be careful today, all this stuff going on. And God has been dealing with Wanda and I by giving money away. Dear God. I mean, we've given major money. You know, but I sit around and I said, maybe must something wrong with my mind. Because you know what? I ain't worried a lick. Something's wrong with my mind. I'm going crazy. I'm happy. But you know, it's the whole thing. And I walk around people in the world and they're looking at things going on. But it's like, I've told you guys before, I asked the Lord why He has me do certain things. I said, why do you always tell me to go do this or tell me to go do that? He said, because I know if I ask you, you'll do it. See, lots of times people, God don't talk to them because if He knows He asks something of them, they're not going to do that. You know, the Lord asked me to give this certain sum of money away, and I said to Wanda about it. I said, Lord, talking to you about some of money somewhere. And she said about, you know, a thing, and you know, we were talking, and I said, well, this is what He gave me to do. And that's what I love about my wife, you know, and both of us together when it comes to money. I just said, well, this is what I got to do. And she said, well, if God told you, then we're going to do it. I mean, she's that quick at it. That ain't the norm. That's not the norm for people. I know. I know when people want to follow in God, you know, we have a lot of Christianity and I love you till it does the will of God. Then we're not so close. Hey, hold it here. And I said to her, she said, well, give it away. I sat down and thought about this. I said, came to me to do this. And I thought, is this just me or is it just God? And I thought, why would I be thinking about giving that all that money? I said, nah, that wasn't me. That was God. And you know what? Once I settled it was God, I just couldn't wait to get that thing off my hands. And I thought, this is downright crazy. Here I am wanting to get it off my hands. And you know what? Then I thought it was the strangest thing in the world because I had trouble getting it off my hands to get it to them because of messing around that they were doing and different things. And I thought, dear God. Sometimes people are just dumb. People ain't got good sense. I'm convinced this. Lots of times people don't get the blessing they could have because they're never thinking straight. God's trying to bless them, but they got their minds out and all kind of other things and stuff going on, And they can't even tell what God's trying to do to them. Hallelujah. They can't tell whether God's trying to bless them or what's happening. Hallelujah. Well, anyhow, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now listen what he goes on to say here to us. As he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Do you see what that? This is what we are. This is what we are. God, the choosing. When you got born again, everybody who gets born again is chosen by God to this blessing. Everybody. Everybody. This isn't for somebody. You know, one of the biggest problems that are people, they look at somebody and say, well, this, yeah, maybe if somebody's in this ministry or they're doing this, then God will be that way to them. It's for a certain group. No, it's not. It's for everybody. You're just as much a child of God. Everybody's just as much a child of God. This blessing, you were predestined. Anybody who accepts Jesus Christ is predestined to this blessing, to all this blessing of God to them. Now, I want you to see something here that will help you in this area. Is this, well, I like that blessed one because he says you're accepted in the beloved. You're accepted. So in other words, this blessing, you're already accepted. You're already in it. Now listen to what he says on here. He says, in him, now listen to this, we talked about these things before. Again in the scripture we have this. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Do you see how many times before we taught that? We saw he talks about redemption, then forgiveness of sin. See, redemption is always mentioned first. Everybody puts forgiveness of sin, the big deal. Why? It's the redemption that's a big deal. If you got forgiveness of sin but didn't get the redemption is all the good stuff that's in this thing. It's in redemption. It's because you're redeemed. That's what all the blessing is in there for. But see, everybody puts, they always put the things first. I tell you, put first what God puts first. Now he said, forget, he said what? Now listen, according to the riches of his grace. He did this according to his, the riches of his grace. Now people say, you know, grace is, you know, God's unmerited favor. I want you to understand about this. Now we use, people talk about, well, grace is God's power that works on your behalf. There's a truth in that, but I want you to see something about grace here from this teaching of something here said. There's a good revelation for you to understand. I don't care how much God's working on your behalf. You have to understand it and know it and how to cooperate with grace. You have to know how to do it. I don't care how much grace. God's giving you the grace, and in the grace is all the blessing that God planned, that heaven could have, has been given to you. But that doesn't mean you're going to experience it. You may not experience any of it. Even though it's given to us, it's there, it's ours. Listen to this. We go on here to read. He says, it was according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound toward us. And listen, in all wisdom and prudence. What? His grace abounds toward us in all wisdom and prudence. How does grace abound toward me? To all power, to all, no, he said, wisdom and prudence is how it does it. Now I want you to understand this, we're going to talk about. And verse 9 says, having made known to us the mysteries of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. God decided to take what was mystery, his mystery, and reveal it to us. And it is here, he tells us, in wisdom and prudence. Is number one, you need wisdom and prudence concerning grace to be able to be blessed. In other words, you need to understand God's mystery. You need to understand the will and purpose of God so you can operate in the grace. You need knowledge of God. No, you can't, you'll never have faith. No matter how much grace God's provided, grace is always received by faith. Always. That's how you got born again. That's how the grace of God saved you. You operated by faith. Now, it stands in this way all the time. See, this way if we would walk over, let's, you know, like we would ask in wisdom, and James made statement about the wisdom. Because we found out grace operates through wisdom. James said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to them. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. See, we just found out, you need wisdom to operate in the grace of God. And how do you get wisdom? He said, you ask for it, but you got to ask by faith. You got to ask by faith. Here's what asking by faith is. You got to believe when you ask, He gives it to you. Not asking by faith and say, well, I still just don't know what to do. Well, you just shot everything you said you prayed by faith. Faith says this, faith, the prayer of faith, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, then you'll have them. You need to believe you receive it when you ask. And if you don't believe you received it when you ask, James said, James, this is James, the brother of Jesus. He said, don't even expect to get anything from God. Don't even expect it. That's a tough thing to say. My words. He ain't very loving, is he? I'll tell you. He don't know what I'm going through. See, we need to know. See, this is one thing. Grace must always be acted toward by faith. This one thing is, we teach subjects from the Bible and separate things for the purpose of teaching. But everything runs together. It all works together. It's not, faith is just some subject out here, grace is a subject. That's the way we taught it. People are over here saying, well, I'm operating in grace. And they know nothing about faith. You ain't operating in grace. You don't know nothing about grace. If you just say, I'm over here in faith, and you know nothing about grace, you ain't doing nothing either. It all works together. It's all together. See, you need knowledge of God. Now, he said, this is what grace brings to you. It brings this knowledge of God to you. When you ask by faith. You believe you receive it when you ask. You know, you don't need any wisdom till you go to do whatever you need wisdom for. If you're waiting for the wisdom to come, then you're going to go do it. You'll probably never go do it. That's the way it works. Hey, I've learned this thing over the years, this faith walk stuff. And you know what? Every time I go out in faith in something, it usually never shows up to the last minute. You know, if I need wisdom on a thing of what to do, I find this out. Many times I'll go start to do it and stumbling around with whatever I'm doing, trying to, and all of a sudden, bang, a light comes on. Oh, I know what to do. I know what to do. And see, I found these people that have been waiting for wisdom for 20 years and they've never done nothing. They're waiting for wisdom. Say, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm waiting for the God. I'm waiting on God. Yeah, well, you'll be there until they put you in a casket, you waiting on God. And he'll be throwing dirt on you. Waiting for God. You go act like the Bible's true. Hallelujah. I asked him for wisdom. He surely did give it. He'd never lie. Hallelujah. I must have the wisdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, that's how you get a smile on your face. You can't get a smile on your face doing it that other way all your years of sitting around and whining about it. Telling other people how God didn't tell you yet. Boy, that really makes a joy, doesn't it? That really puts happy on your face. Well, I've been praying and believing. You ever been there? Tough spot to be, I'll tell you. But I want you to understand this thing about prudence. See, in this wisdom that God gives in wisdom, he mentions specifically prudence. And what is prudence? Here's one of the great lacking things in the church today. There's great laxity. Because, you know, people, you know, they sit around trying. Grace is full of prudence. It's the ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason. That's what prudence is. Well, we know this. There's very little prudence in the church world today. Almost no prudence. That's why grace. See, they teach this sloppy grace. Oh, everybody's forgiven of everything. You don't even have to ask Jesus to forgive you anymore. You're automatically forgiven. You sin, you don't even have to go. See, there's no prudence in that. Your confessing of sin isn't about God, it's about you dealing with you. And these preachers that preach this devilish, evil stuff keep people bound in sin. My confession of sin is about my problem, not God's. God ain't got a problem. I do. I have broken fellowship with God because of my sin, and the only way I can get back is deal with me. God ain't holding me out. I am. Sin. You see, prudence is shrewdness in the management of affairs. Prudence is skill and good judgment in the use of resources. Prudence is caution or circumspection as to danger and risk. Really, it really does tie together with wisdom. See, people today talk about wisdom and being wise, and they have no prudence. They throw everything you call wisdom out the window. Because really, prudence is the ability to handle that wisdom and take it and use it. And that wisdom. And keep yourself in line. Prudence is about your integrity. People don't have prudence, they don't have any integrity. We've lost that in the church world today. We've lost this integrity thing. We need to understand. See, we've been blessed. We have all this blessing that has been put into the church. God gave to the church. And we want to enjoy it. And we enjoy it by understanding the grace. Grace is the carrier that brought that to us. Grace is what God gave that had all that blessing and everything in it. But if we're going to enjoy it, we got to have wisdom. It's not a toy to be played with. Today, the things of God in the church, where everything's to be played with. It's all just a game. It's all just a thing, you know, that stuff we play around. People play around with healing. They don't even think about it in their lives of what they do, how they're living, how they have the door open to the devil to bring destruction into them. And they just say, this grace that God's just going to throw it at me over here. No, it doesn't. It doesn't go that way. You need wisdom and you need prudence in dealing with that grace of understanding how to handle that. The things God gives us are precious. Years ago, people in the church world treated it as such, but not anymore. Not anymore. They don't treat the things of God as if they're precious. They're not holding them as a value. The value of grace. See, it matters not how much power God can work in my behalf in grace if I can't get to use it. It doesn't matter. If I don't have the wisdom in handling those things. You know, if God today just went up and just turned power up in the church to have to do something, it would be no different than handing a little kid a loaded gun, let him play with it. Because people just kill themselves with it, sure as you get. They'd be shooting everybody up, killing everybody. They wouldn't know what to do with it. God's power, God has plans, and God tells us His word how things are supposed to be done, how power is to be handled. What is supposed to, and people don't, they just think it's a toy. We just go and just, you know, throw it out there and it don't matter. We need to understand, you know, power, just as physical, natural power, whether it's electric or whatever it is, natural gas, hell, wrong, you can have an explosion, blow up and kill yourself. There's a lot of Christians have left this earth long before they were supposed to because of mishandling of God's power. The mismanagement of God's power. The mismanagement of grace. The church at Corinth. The mismanagement of the grace of God. Paul wrote to them and said, many of you are weak, sick, and some die prematurely because they don't judge themselves. You know what Matthew said? They didn't judge themselves. They didn't have no prudence. They weren't dealing wisely with things, and many of them were weak and sick. Many of the Christians are weak and sick. Today in the church world, it's the same thing. Many Christians are weak and sick and die prematurely because of not handling grace right. They think the love of God, they have no respect for. God loves me, I can just get away with whatever I want. See, we need to understand it's not toys we're playing with. There's a respect. You know, He's God and it ain't. He's all powerful. I'm not. We need to understand. We hook up over these things. This grace is so glorious. It has all the blessing that heaven has. And God said, I give it to you. I give it to you. It's like, what a treasure. Can you, my mind can't even get wrapped around that everything that heaven God put it on my account. If He had put half of it on there, I thought He's so great. It would have been so wonderful. But Him to say, look, I put it all out there for you now. Now all this stuff works by my grace. What you're going to have to do is you're going to need prudence and wisdom about this thing to get this thing working for you. You're going to need that. That's the way this thing is going to work for you. See, this is why we want to grow up. You know, I look at my own spiritual walk as a young Christian. I look back and I do this many times. I look back and I almost chuckle how God did things for me. And I think, I was so stupid. Yet I was walking in what I knew and how He blessed me. Now, I can't go back and do it that way ever again. He ain't going to ever bless me going to do it again. You need to grow up. But you know what? I know people who got born again when I did, and they're still trying to be the big baby they were back then. And they want, and I've had ones of them come to me, I don't understand why this don't work for me anymore. And that, I said, you know, I think, I don't understand. I think, my God, you need to go home and be with Jesus. You're so stupid. You ain't even bright enough to be living in the earth. You can't figure out. If my grandson, if Braden came to me, who's 10 now, and he's still trying to do the stuff like he did when he was 2 years old, I'd think something's wrong. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think your child had not come to the point past the 2 years old and he's 10? This is Christianity today. We don't think it's weird that people never grow up. They're still doing the same nonsensical stuff that they did 20 years ago as a Christian. We've got the point. We don't even think anything's the matter with us. See, we don't know how to measure. We've been, the church as a whole has been so unspiritual. We don't know how to measure spirituality. We don't even know how to do it. We have no clue. We don't even know if we're babies or not. You know, I gave the Lord, I always told the Lord, Lord, you need to correct me on something you do. And He's been pretty bold about that a long time over the years to tell me stuff about myself. Most people would think it's the devil talking to them. It probably had. The devil's been trying to correct them for years. And they must be the devil. Anything negative like that couldn't be God. You see, you have to know. You have to know where you are spiritually. Your faith. If you don't know where you're at spiritually, your faith can't grow. It's an impossibility. Because you don't know where you're at. You don't know where your faith can reach to or what it can't reach to. You don't know. See, you have to. When you and I are going to use faith for something, we have to know what we can take a hold of by faith. We can't. Faith is the hand to take things in the spirit realm. You can't take it any other way. And you know, this is one thing. I know, just in the natural, if my hand can grab this Bible and pick it up, I know it. I can feel it. I can do it. Natural. It's the same way in the spirit. I know by faith whether I can grab a hold of it or not. I've had so many Christians over the years come to me and say, well, I don't know if I'm in faith or not. And I tell them, that's an easy one. That wasn't nothing hard at all. You ain't. If you were in faith, you'd know you had it. You'd know you had it. You know whether, you know, I can tell, I've done this already. I wanted to reach out to things and I know, you know, I ain't got the faith to reach out on that one. I'm going to have to do something about my faith. I want to build my faith in that area to reach out, take a hold of that. I'm going to have to build my faith in that area. Well, see, it's number one. If you don't know if you can or not, you'll never grow up. You'll keep trying to reach for things you can't get. You'll be like that little toddler running around down there trying to do stuff, just doing. You'll know enough about God to get in trouble. That's a lot of Christians. They just know enough about God to get in trouble. You don't want to do that. You want to grow up, and you can. You can grow up. Know where you're at. Be honest with yourself where you're at spiritually. Don't play a game, because you can't grow if you don't do it. You can't play a game with yourself. You got to stop saying, you know, I know I need to go beyond in this. This, I can see myself. I can see. You know, don't put yourself around people that you think are less spiritual or so you feel like you're some kind of spiritual giant. People like that never grow up. Always trying to hang around people lesser than them. Bible says iron sharpens iron. You know, when I go somewhere, I look for somebody who knows more than I do. You don't learn from people who know less than you. You don't learn a thing. You learn from getting around people who know stuff that you don't know. And you get around them. There's people that know how to walk in things. I like to get around them because they have a certain spirit about themselves. I want to get a connection with that spirit. I want to hook up in that with them. They're good at doing certain things and they're good at grabbing a hold of certain. I want to hook up with that. So I get around that. See, spiritual things are the same way. It rubs off on you. You know, we talk about this, you know, kids getting hanging around with the wrong person. They say, well, you know, that rubs off on them. You know, spiritually, that's the way it is. You're going to stay as spiritual as what you rub up against. The church you go to, the place you go to, you ain't getting any more spiritual. You go to a place that ain't very spiritual, that's what you're rubbing up on all the time, and you're going to stay at that spot. You stay there. You can't, you got to go beyond. Jesus said it. Can't go beyond your teacher. I wonder if Jesus was right. Gee, I wonder. See, all those scriptures in the Bible, but most people say, well, I love Jesus and I believe him. They don't even know what Jesus said. They don't pay no attention to what Jesus said. I remember this as a young Christian. Kenneth Hagin said, I never understood these people. Went to these dead churches, they'd come out and get filled with the Holy Ghost and go back to that dead church. Wow, you go back and run up with the dead people. After a while, you ain't no more full of the Holy Ghost than anything else. You're just back in all the old same old stuff all over again. Just rubbing on the same old stuff all over again. Why? Well, I'm familiar with them and I like that there and they're my friends are there. Is Jesus there? No, it don't matter. My friends ain't there. My friends are at this place. Jesus will have to come to where my friends are if he wants me. When I got saved, I lost a lot of friends. No, but I just told people, yeah, you want to hang with me, you're going to have to go where I'm going. You're going to have to go where I'm going. Hallelujah. So you like to hang out with Jesus? Come on. I'll tell you, Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. He wasn't talking about physical people. Hallelujah. Well, that's good preaching anyhow. Hallelujah. Folks, we have blessing from God. We are blessed and we're the blessed people. And when we know the truth and we know to walk in the truth, folks, is to follow this blessing. The blessing is more precious than anything else in life. God's blessing. It's more, you gotta come, if you'll start walking toward God and start walking toward this grace, you gotta come to the place that you taste of the blessing. Is the blessing good? Many people have done this. Many people came into the kingdom and they tasted things of the blessing of God, but they got away from it over the years and they've lost the taste. Should I tell you how you get it back? You can pray night and day all you want. It don't come back that way. You can ask God all you want. It's like anything with natural food. You're going to have to go eat it again. You don't acquire a taste for anything you don't eat. You can't pray for it. This is why people pray for moves of God and what they need to go back tasting again what they left behind. Go back to it again and taste it. Go back to those things and eat again. See, I proved that out years ago of how to like foods. There's foods that I didn't like and I just decided I was going to learn to like them. I started eating them. When I first started eating them, I didn't like them. But I'd just go eat them again. I'd go eat it again. See, when I don't pay no attention to people say, well, I don't like this and I don't like that. Get over yourself. Because you're going to have this. In natural life, if you can't take care of things like that, you'll never take care of things spiritual because you're going to run into all kinds of things in the spirit realm that have to do with God and your blessing that don't taste good at first. Seems it's too hard to reach to. Seems it's too much. When you can't deal with the natural, you'll never deal with the precious things of the spiritual. That's good. That's from the Holy Ghost. That's from the Holy Ghost. See, this is prudence. Learn to get this flesh in line and get it moved over in line. Get yourself over where you'll step into something knowing that, man, this is a hard thing to do. This is something to step into, but the blessing is worth it. People in life do that things all the time. You know, people today, they want doctors. They want to go to the doctor and get a free checkup. It don't matter. He spent a fortune in all those years of getting himself an education when everybody else is running around playing games and getting stuff from the government free. He was out there working night and day and night and day in school, got himself a couple $100,000 worth of debt and everything else. And we want to run there and complain, I go to the doctor. You know how much that costs? If I was a doctor, I'd charge you 10 times the amount. Folks, I'm downright serious. I would. What these guys go through together, Christians know nothing about what it takes to get something good. They don't realize the value and preciousness of something. They complain what it costs to get what is valuable. We should never, never complain about going what it costs to get something valuable. You should never sit around, I should get it free. God provided healing for the church and the church won't take it. Why? Because it don't work the way I like it. And it costs me to believe something and it costs me, I don't want to do it. You might as well laugh, it's true anyhow. You sit around there. But see, we don't. We need to know what we're dealing with and dealing with ourselves. What's precious? There's just a thing in this earth is what precious, what is really precious is going to always cost you something to go after that thing. If you want more, it's going to cost more. It's just the way it is. If there's a different system, please let me know. I want to find out, man. I hate to think, you know, I've been messing up all this time and been working at this thing. And see, we need to know that. We lost that. Just like, you know, Mike and I, you know, Mike was talking about waiting in line and that stuff. And when I said about it, waiting in line for things. See, there was things that our time to stand to get that was nothing to what we thought the value of what we were going to get getting in that meeting. Today, people go to healing meetings and stuff. They don't plan on getting healed. They don't treat it value like I'm going to get it when I get there. Well, let's go. I don't want to get there too early. I hope we can get a decent seat, you know. I didn't get my seat up front. I got there and I didn't get my seat where I wanted it. I know I only showed up 5 minutes before the meeting and I didn't get there. And they're sitting around going through their things. They don't find it. They don't plan on getting healed. I'm going to tell you, if I thought I was getting healed, I'm going to tell you what. I'd be knocking ushers down to get up there. You know, some guys in the Bible tore a roof off the roof, off the house. Just to get in there. They thought they were going to get healed. My words, we won't even get out of bed to go do something. I just... See, we don't realize our action if you thought you were going to get something. This is what faith is about. Faith is about something that's yours, that it belongs to me, that I got, and I'm going to get that thing. That thing's mine. How valuable? What is it that is valuable for it? See, over in James, James said, you know, is there any sick among you? Call for the elders of the church. Now, he's dealing with the church. He said, they call for the elders of the church. The average Christian will never call the elders of the church anymore. Won't call the elders of the church. They wait till you're going to have somebody, they say you want healed or, you know, want healing. They're waiting for somebody else to come to them, talk to them, offer to them. They don't plan on getting healed. Most people, this is what they'll do. They'll go to the doctor first. They go think, and when they find out it ain't working to get well, then they want somebody to pray for them. There's no faith in that. See, if they believed they got prayed for, they'd have got well, wouldn't you have done that first? See, we don't. See, and I'm not saying this to criticize people. We have a thinking in the church world that is totally unbiblical, and we talk about ourselves as if we believe the Bible. We don't even know what the Bible's talking about. We don't know. We don't believe it's going to work. God, I want you to heal. If I don't have to do anything about it and I just get to go to do whatever I want and you just show up and heal me. Follow the Bible? Ah, hold it. Say, boy, you're getting touchy now. See, call from the elders. You know, like Betty Weaver back here. Betty, you know, she's one of those. If Betty wants prayer, she'll come right to me and tell me she wants prayer. She does. And I want to tell you what, Betty's gotten more prayer answers of me praying with her over things than anybody else in this church. Because Betty will always come. I don't have to chase Betty around and stuff. Because what Betty believes, if she gets prayed for, something's going to happen. And it does. She has a long list of good stuff. But see, she'll come. She's not, she believes if she does that, it'll work. And I know, you always find it. Others sit around just wait. Well, you know, they weren't praying for anybody today. What did you ask? Well, no, I don't like to ask. I don't like to do what the Bible says. You know, we don't like that. We just, you know what I mean? Now listen, that's what you, follow my, you have to have actions of faith. Faith without works or faith without corresponding action is dead. No matter what you believe, if you're not acting like it's true, it's dead. It produces nothing. Faith is not just believing something. I want to teach it again sometime. I did years ago, the three parts of faith. Faith is believing first, then it's saying, and then acting like it's true. If you ain't doing those three, you're not in faith. Believing something is not faith. It's believing something. When you start saying it, and you start acting like it's true, now that's faith in action. That's faith carried out. Then what happens? You're going to see it. You're going to see it. You believe it in your heart, said it with your mouth, acting like it's so, and I'm going to guarantee you, your eyes are going to see what you believe. The so-called faith movement today is all about just believing something and making a confession every once in a while. That's all it is. But it's not the fullness of faith. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I meddled with you long enough, ain't it? Hallelujah. Praise God. Say this after me. I'm blessed. God has blessed me. He's not going to bless me. He has blessed me. With every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm a child of God. I believe Jesus is Lord. I believe God raised him from the dead. I'm saved. I'm a child of God. So I'm blessed. With every blessing. I'm not looking for blessings. I have them. Jesus gave them to me. I'm going to live in my blessings. I'm going to confess my blessings. I'm going to look in the Bible and find out all about my blessings. And then I'm going to take those blessings, hallelujah, and make them mine because they are mine. Jesus put them on my account. They belong to me. And I'm going to enjoy them because I'm blessed. Hallelujah. And you are blessed. Glory to God. You're blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want to just say to you, Robert, I was praying last night and I saw you last night. Hallelujah. I did see you, brother. No, I saw you last night, but the Lord said this. I saw it and the Lord said this. He said, tell Robert that I'm working in him mightily. I'm working in him mightily. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. And he's going to fulfill in you the things he said he would.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Now, you know what? Now see, the Lord had me say that to him, but I'll bet you 10-1 God had me say that to him because he probably doesn't feel like God's working in him mightily. He's going to... Hallelujah. But you know the whole thing of it is, well, what it is, God says things to encourage it. See, when we're in places where we need encourage and God wants to be, hey, you know, he wants us to keep standing in an area. He'll speak to us to tell us. So we know we're in the right spot. See, that, you know, we need to understand that from a prophecy standpoint, that's what prophecy is about. Prophecy is not about telling you something, some big word or something like that, that God, you know, that you're wonderful, the next best thing to sliced cheese and whatever else and everything else. It's not about that. It's about verifying in you what God is dealing and working with you. The prophet's ministry of the New Testament is not the prophecy, the ministry of the prophet in the Old Testament. People didn't have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And God bears witness through the prophet's ministries to bear witness what God's already working out in you. Hallelujah. So I'll tell you something new. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's working in us here. And so we need to get in line with that. God is speaking to you. It's number one, God wants to first of all speak to you about things. He wants to reveal to you. I mean, I thank God for you. When I got their letter from Randall Greer, one of the things, see, God's been dealing with me a long time about the church and the praying for the church, getting the church. And I get that for him. He's a prophet. It was just a verification to me that, hey, I've been going along the right line about the church. Then I know. See, it's a bear witness to me what I already know, not to give me something new. That's what it's for. And see, we need to be picking things up. We need to be getting things in our spirit. So God, through the Holy Spirit, can bear witness with you. And he'll do it. He can do it through, not just through like me or some prophet or anything. He can do it even through others. He'll bear witness things to you that God's dealing with you on about. So you know, hey, you know, I'm picking up. Yeah, that's what I was picking up. So I know. It's a verification. That's one thing God used me lots of times in the areas of words and knowledge. You know, if I take over the years of ministers, so many times, it's hard to count, of other ministers and that stuff, a different thing. Lord will give me a word for them. And time again, I've gone to a minister and said such and such to him, and they'll say, you know, that's exactly what God's been doing. God spoke to me about that. See, it was a verification to them. That's why he does it. It wasn't give them something new. It was to verify to them. Years ago, God sent a number of ministers to our church just for this purpose, for me to speak to them, to say some certain things that God had been dealing with them on, to give them a verification. He sent them there for that purpose. It's just to speak to them, tell them, so they could go fulfill what God called them to do. They weren't called to stay at this ministry. They were called to do something else, but God verified. A number of times I had ministers, and I verified a call in their life. And told them things that God had told them specifically. It wasn't to give them anything new. They said God's been dealing. Then they knew God was actually speaking to that. And they went out and fulfilled that ministry. They went and did it. See, that's what it's for. It's never to show off something. It's not, you know, I ain't bright. You know, I don't give me visions or dreams. I haven't done that yet. I don't know how to do that. I don't know if I've even had a pizza dream yet. I don't even know if I had one of those. But anyhow, you know, I will try. You know, every time if I have something in a vision form and I see it or a revelation comes to me, I can just tell you this. I have never had one come that I thought was one was going to come. You know, I've been sometimes in a position where I thought, man, I'll tell you what, God just might show up and blow up big and nothing ever happened. Then I'm out of here and I'm just being normal old Ed, and all of a sudden I have a vision or I get a revelation. That always was a remarkable thing to me, as I think, I'm out of here and I'm not, you know, I'm not being as spiritual, and all of a sudden God reveals something to me and I'm like, oh my God. But last night I was praying. I was doing that. I was praying with God. I was doing something spiritual. But it always I'm not looking for those things. I'm not looking. And I thank God for over the years, because over the years I've had numbers of times people came to me and spoke to me about certain things God was dealing with. And I was so thankful that God bore witness with me about things to know you're on track. Hallelujah. Sometimes I've had people God has sent me someplace to listen to a certain message that was preached. I went there and they were preaching a message, and that message was exactly what I needed to hear, what God was talking to me about. And that message turned around and was my answer. It was my answer. So, and I've had that happen numbers of times. I still, to this day, I all of a sudden come to me to start listening to certain teachings. I have so many series of stuff, and all of a sudden a certain series will come to me, you go listen to that. I'll start listening to that teaching, and all of a sudden, bang, I get an answer of something I'd been talking to the Lord that I needed to know. All of a sudden, bango, there it is. I got it. Hallelujah. See, that's the Holy Ghost at work. You know, that's supernatural, folks. Now, it might not seem to you miraculous, but that's supernatural. That's God working inside of you, moving you to do something. See, sometimes we let stuff like that go by. You know, we'll keep it. I've had people come to me and say, well, you know, God's been dealing with me to go listen to this certain thing, and I don't know if that's God or I don't know if it's me. Well, wouldn't it hurt you no good to go check and find out? Go listen to it. It's going to hurt you to listen to the Word of God. Go listen. Say, I don't know if it's God. Well, he didn't tell you to rob the bank, did he? He didn't tell you that, did he? He told me, you know, I don't know. Say, God told me to go give this guy $100. Well, you know, I don't know if it was God or not. Well, I'll tell you what, if I had to throw caution, I'd throw caution in the wind and go give him $100. See, if I missed it, it was on the good side. I bless somebody. See, if I missed it on that side, well, hallelujah. Somebody got something good out of that one. Glory to God. Rather than say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to pray and fast and find out. I don't know. And I'm just not hearing good. Say, my wallet's pretty well tight shut. I'm not hearing good. Father, we just want to thank you today. Father God, you're blessed. You love us. And Lord God, I know we're all in a sense like a bunch of little kids sometimes. And Lord God, in all your maturity and all you are, you look at us and you still love us. And you care for us and you're still working on us. Hallelujah. And you said in your word, the good work you started in us, you're going to bring it to completion. You're absolutely incredible. You're absolutely marvelous. And I just want to thank you. I thank you for putting up with us. Hallelujah. And loving us. And Lord God, Lord, I know with myself, I'd have quit on me a long time ago, but you never did. Lord God, you persisted in your goodness and mercy and kindness in Christ Jesus. And you continued. It's just like with this people. You'll continue in the same manner, Lord God. Lord God, Lord, the Bible tells us you correct us because you love us. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you, Lord God. You're setting us into a path because, Lord, you have great desire to, you have things you want fulfilled. And you want us to bring us to the place that we can help you fulfill your plans and purposes, that we'll work and cooperate together with you. And I thank you, Lord God. We want to partner with you in the ministry. Hallelujah. We want to partner together to see your plans and purposes are fulfilled, Lord, because there's so many, Lord God, in this earth that don't know Jesus. Lord God, there's so many that are lost without Christ. And Lord God, we want that bell of salvation and healing going out across the land again. Hallelujah. Not just in our nation, but the nations of the earth. That again, Lord God, the name of Jesus with his glory and the preaching of his wonders and great grace would go again out across our land and around the world. Father God, that America would pick up again and take its place. Hallelujah. From its founding, Lord God. Lord God, of being a light to the world. Hallelujah. Father God, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God, because in this nation, there are people, a people who, you know that, Lord God, there's always been a remnant who love you with all their heart. There's always been a remnant that has wanted more. There's always been a remnant. Lord God, it's not the whole group, and it's not the big group. But Lord God, it's always because of the remnant, the rest get blessed. And Lord God, I never pray for you to bless me, but that's one thing I will ask you, make me a blessing. Hallelujah. Lord God, I want to bless those who don't know and understand. I want to bless those, Lord God, out here. Lord, that don't know how to bless themselves. Lord God, I want to be a blessing to them. Hallelujah. Just as Abraham, by following you, became a blessing to the nations of the earth. So, and we in this time, Lord God, we here will be a blessing to our nation, a blessing to the people of the earth, because we walk and we follow you, do your will and your bidding, and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.